This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
My BFRB is trichotillomania. I was diagnosed when I was 7. I pull from pretty much everywhere, my entire body, and I am one of the people who actually eats their hair. So not just the oral fixation with like the rubbing it on your lips and everything, but I do ingest it. I'm trying to work on that because, you know, as we heard at the conference last weekend, it can be a little bit of a hazard. About myself, I'm 37. I live in Massachusetts. I love cats. I'm a huge cat person. And I work in the healthcare industry and I work from home. So that can also kind of be a little bit of a danger zone with trichotillomania and my pulling in particular. But yeah, I pull pretty much every day. I would say the volume of pulling is fairly constant, but definitely trying to use the tools that I have to help with it.
Do you remember the first time you pulled?
I do remember the first time I pulled. I'm not going to go into like super gory details, but it's a little bit of a sad story. My parents weren't the greatest. They have improved, but I didn't have the best childhood. And when I was 7, my mom, for the first time ever, went on vacation without us. She went by herself and left me and my siblings with my dad. I did not like my dad at all. He was not very nice. And so when she came back from the vacation, she noticed I had started pulling from the top of my hairline. And that was, yeah, during that week, I guess that was my comfort to myself when I was alone with my dad.
What was her reaction when she noticed that you're pulling? I bring that up because my parents were like, oh, okay, let's figure this out. You know, kind of tossing me in the best way possible. They meant, well, you know, tossing me to different doctors and saying, what's going on here? You know, something is happening. So what was your parents' reaction?
So my mom's reaction was pretty similar to your parents' reaction. My dad was fairly hands-off. He didn't really engage with my hair pulling. He just let my mom deal with it. She was worried when I told her I couldn't stop. And so she took me to first my pediatrician, because this was in the early 90s. She took me to my pediatrician, and from there we got referrals to, you know, therapists, psychiatrists. And it took, I think, maybe 3 of them before somebody figured out what it was and told my mom. And from there, it was just constant therapy throughout my childhood and adolescence.
When you would see the different therapists, did you feel like they had a grasp on what your disorder was like? Or was it kind of like what Becca said during her play, you know, kind of that throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping something sticks?
Yes, definitely. Like the play, I really like the example in the play. I liked that. My healthcare providers definitely did not have, they understood what it was, but they didn't quite know what to do. I remember distinctly one therapist when I was maybe 8, she had me draw a picture of trichotillomania as a woman, like as an actual person who lived in my mind. And she had me draw this picture of her packing her bags and leaving. And I realized, you know, she was just trying to do the best she could. She didn't quite, and it wasn't just her. I know lots of mental health care professionals, even today, they're not quite sure how to treat somebody with a BFRB. But she had me draw trichotillomania is like this grumpy lady with a suitcase. And she's like, just tell her to leave. Tell her to pack her bags and get out of here. And she's like, I think you'll be okay. And as we now know, it didn't quite work that way.
Was there any point or any part of therapy that you found did help, something that maybe did help you in your journey?
Oh, yes. So I'm not sure if you were in the room when there was a panel on the very last day of the BFRB convention where I actually got up and I was able to give a huge thank you to the researchers. But in years past of the conference, a really great therapist from Portland, Oregon, named Danielle Lieb Foley, I did group therapy with her and some other people who have BFRBs. And the things she taught and had us, practice at home were very helpful. And I didn't meet her until maybe my early to mid-20s, but she was genuinely the first therapist or mental health professional that knew firsthand what people with BFRBs reported helped them, like habit blockers or, gloves, hats, band-aids, things of that nature, or putting hair oil in your hair or on your eyebrows. And I went to her group therapy sessions for about almost 2 years, I would say, off and on. But yeah, I do miss those sessions, and I do very much still try to put into practice the things I learned.
Can you share maybe one favorite thing that you go back to?
Something I go back to is putting soft cotton gloves on my hands. Like I'll just get some, soft winter gloves. Sometimes I will cut like the tip off of like my pinky finger just so I can use my phone or, some other touch screen. But the gloves very much work for me. The band-aids, sort of. When I'm watching TV, I have a tendency to take the band-aids off of my fingers. Same with a hat, but just the cotton gloves are where it's at for me.
And you mentioned this is a group therapy session. So was that the first time you had met other people with BFRBs?
Oh yes, that was definitely the first time. I knew there was a community online because as a teenager, I had started researching and just trying to connect with other people via email who had BFRBs. But the group session with the people in person, meeting people who had experienced very similar things to, what I had experienced growing up, not just with like BFRB wise, but, family or trauma wise, it was really refreshing. And I have lost contact with the other group members because we did talk outside of group, but it was just, I feel like having somebody that you can talk to in person is great. I do love pen pals as well, but meeting people who, wear wigs or false eyelashes, or they draw their eyebrows on as well, or they're wearing full long sleeves and long pant legs in the summer because of the skin excoriation, it made me feel not alone. And I love that.
When you first started pulling and you found out the name for trichotillomania, how long after did you find out the name for trichophagia, the hair eating?
I would say mid-teens, maybe like 16. I know that both my, pediatrician and mental health care providers just called it hair eating, or eating my hair. Even my dentist knew because there was a point when I was eating my hair just so much that it was like there was hair in my teeth even after brushing. But I didn't learn the actual scientific name for it till about mid-teenager.
And did the actual behavior, did that come right as soon as trichotillomania came, or did it come eventually?
No, they both happened at the exact same time. the moment I started, pulling is like a sort of self-soothing. I immediately started eating it. And when you're that young, like 7 years old, I didn't really think about that it was, gross or weird or odd or whatever. I just thought it was new.
I just had somebody on the show. Her episode just came out by the time this comes out. So her episode came out last month. She eats her hair as well, and she ended up getting surgery. Have you ever had surgery as well, or is that something that concerns you?
I have not, to my own knowledge, I've never had a blockage. It is something that is on my mind a lot. I'm unsure if this affects anything, but I chew my hair up. Like, I chew it into very small pieces. And I have spoken to my doctors about that. And they're like, well, it can still build up. And I agree. But that's another reason why I kind of want to try to get a handle on this as much as I can, or at the very least, try to not eat my hair so there isn't the risk of the hair blockage.
I know for me personally, when I pull the hair out, I do rub it across the lips. And I have heard of people who don't do that at all, to people who nibble just the root off, to people who bite the entire hair in little pieces, to ingesting. So it is so interesting what our ritual is with each hair.
I think it is also interesting that people who have BFRBs, whether trichotillomania or skin excoriation, the way that they perform their behavior is so different.
Has there been a time in your life with trichotillomania that you've noticed that your pulling has kind of subsided? Things are growing back and it's like, what's going on? Everything's coming back again.
Yes, and it's kind of an interesting story because for over 2 years, I was basically pull free towards the end of high school. So from like junior to senior year, like 16 through 18. And I think the reason I stopped pulling was because I had braces. And with the braces, I could not, complete the quote unquote ritual of like eating my hair. It just, my teeth, the braces would not allow for it. So I had hair like down to my armpits, like super lush, super thick and full. And then after I graduated high school and my braces came off, that was when my pulling returned. And I know I can't have braces for the rest of my life, but it was just kind of an interesting thing that I observed.
What are some things that maybe you've tried to lessen your pulling and your hair eating?
Hair oil or like hair gel, hair mousse, anything that makes the hair taste bad, or like maybe makes it slippery so I can't quite grab a hold of it. I have tried those to curb the hair eating, and it works short term. I can't do it all day, every day, but that's, I know that there's like a, there are combinations of things that can be used, like gloves, band-aids, hats. But I've also used the, competing responses, which are fidget toys, things you put in your hand and like you keep your hands busy so you don't pull. I've tried those. Those haven't been super effective. My willpower when it comes to pulling is really strong. And the urge, it sometimes feels like it has a mind of its own. Like when I just don't realize I have put whatever's in my hand down and then tried to pull. Most recently, I haven't done this much in my life. I put on acrylic nails because the sides are rounded and I can't quite grab the hairs. My real hair is very short. And I think even with like longer hair, I've tried and I just cannot grip it, not even with like the sides. So I was pretty surprised that that is a good method to sort of maybe sit with my urge or curb the pulling long enough to keep myself out of the bathroom and from grabbing tweezers, because I do sometimes pull with tweezers.
Yeah. And the nails look so beautiful. There's something about having your nails done that like sparks this confidence. It's just you want to tap on everything. It's just amazing. It
Yeah,
feels so good.
I totally agree.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program We'll coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
Sometimes it makes typing a little hard, but in the conference, the BFRB conference, I know a common theme was, I don't want to use the term lesser of like two discomforts, I guess, but that's kind of it. Like, you're going to be uncomfortable this way or you're going to be uncomfortable that way. So there's a trade-off. And for me, I am happy to have some trouble typing if it means not pulling out all of my hair.
So tell me some of the highlights from the conference.
Oh my goodness. I keep thinking about the conference. This was my first one. So it was held the beginning of October. And the highlights were meeting other people with BFRBs, just talking to them about their experiences, their lives, just that connection. I very much wanted to meet more people in person, and I did, and it was fantastic. I did enjoy the panels. I really did, like, you know, learning about, you know, some new research or things that are in progress. I have a bottle of NAC, which is the over-the-counter supplement. I was surprised here that in one study, like, around 50% of the study participants noticed some improvement with their BFRB urge. And I was like, wow, I really do have to try it. I've been holding off, but I'm excited to give it a go.
Have you ever felt like you had to avoid things that you once enjoyed or cover things up because of your BFRB?
Oh, yes. So swimming has been a big thing. Like, when I was in high school or even after high school, going to like pool parties with my friends, I am better about it now. I do go to the pool. I just don't put my head underwater because of the wig. But the big one for me has been dating. Like, dating, when I was maybe in my early 20s, I had a couple of bad experiences with dating and like revealing the trichotillomania. And it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth as far as like opening up to somebody that I'm, you know, going out on dates with, or when they notice that I wear a wig, you know, telling them the real reason why. It's always so nerve-wracking. So there have been times in my life where I just did not date. It wasn't worth it to me. So I would say the big ones would be, you know, dating, trying to find a partner, and swimming. Sleepovers, a little bit, yes, but not so much, because all my close friends, like, that I would have sleepovers with, they know about my trichotillomania and they are totally wonderfully supportive.
Yeah. I think, you know, dating sucks, but, you know, it especially sucks. I remember, you know, having all these different bald spots on my head, and one specifically right behind my ear, just huge. And I'm kissing this boy and I'm thinking, don't touch my hair. And there goes the hand in the hair. Yep. And like, I'm like, oh, I gotta go. Like, this, nothing was said, but it was just, I can't even kiss somebody. I don't even want to get in the pool, anything, but like, I can't do something that's seemingly innocent without thinking the whole time, oh my gosh, what if they touch my bald spots? What if they notice? What if they say, oh my, you know, say mean things to me? It's all in our mind, just completely wrapped up.
Oh, I completely agree. It's nerve-wracking. I haven't had like real hair for a very, very, very long time. I mean, I do have real hair, but like hair that I am comfortable being seen without, like a hat or a wig or a scarf. But kind of in the same situation, like, people can feel a wig if they run their hands through the hair or, you know, put their hand like on your head. So I'm like, oh no, please don't touch it. But yeah, that's happened to me a couple times, so I totally understand. Or more than a couple times.
When was the first time that you got a wig?
Oh wow, so that was exciting. The first time I actually took the leap and purchased a wig, I was 21, like 21 years old. I had gone through shaving my scalp or shaving my head. I had gone through hats and scarves, and I really just wanted to try a wig. And I went to a shop, and it was great. And I typically get wigs that are like my same, hair color or hair texture, like, because I want them to match. But yeah, it boosted my self-confidence so much, and it really did make a massive difference in my overall happiness.
I know some people with wigs, they have different personalities with each one. Have you felt that way through your journey with wigs?
Not yet, because all of the wigs that I get are so similar. At some point, I do want to try kind of like a fun wig, like maybe purple. But all of my wigs, they to me are like an extension of myself. So I feel like every time I put one on, it's just my personality. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see when I do get the purple wig that I want to try. We'll see how I feel or if my mood or personality changes, even just for like a fun going out night.
How do you feel your relationship with your BFRB has changed over time?
A lot more self-compassion and self-love, and less keeping it a secret. I used to try to keep my trichotillomania the biggest secret ever, and I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want my friends or my family to talk about it with me. I just pretended I didn't have one, even though it was oftentimes like visibly apparent that I was missing eyelashes, eyebrows, hair. But as I got older, maybe starting around the age of 30, when I was, doing a lot more research on, BFRBs and spending a lot of time with like the TLC resources, because Trichotillomania Learning Center is wonderful, I started to really believe the words of having a BFRB doesn't change who I am. It doesn't make me anything less. I'm still the same wonderful person. I just have this behavior that I do and that I have to deal with. But yeah, over time, it's just been so much more love, compassion, talking kinder to myself. It's still a journey, obviously, because there are going to be days and times when I'm a little upset with myself for not resisting the urge like I thought I should have. But yeah, I'm happy to be more comfortable with it and not as self-loathing.
That's huge. That's like that part of my journey was rocky. I mean, woo, the things that we used to say to ourselves. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine saying it now.
Yes, or just like fighting, being like, there was a time in my 20s, I would say maybe a good 2 or 3 years where I just did not want to go out in public. I didn't want to go to the grocery store. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to see anybody because I was talking so unkindly to myself about my hair. And like, I was like, wow, I don't think society wants to see me, so I'm just going to stay in my apartment.
How did you start speaking kindly to yourself? What are some things that you maybe implemented in your day that really caused a big positive change?
I learned something in therapy that a lot of people practice called mindfulness. When I first learned of mindfulness, as well as, I know there's a specific name for this, but trying to catch yourself when you're thinking, thoughts that might be harmful, and then doing an immediate, I guess, correction. Like, for instance, saying, like, I am so ugly, I can't even go out today. Immediately stopping yourself and saying that isn't true. You are beautiful. You're just struggling. Just something that is a contradiction of what you've said to yourself. And at first, it did not come easy at all. I think mindfulness in any sort of mental work, it takes a lot. What do they say about habits? It takes quite a lot of repetition to have a habit become ingrained in your daily life. And that's what it was. But I learned that in therapy, and I did homework like every day, not paper and pencil homework, but just Practice, 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 practice. Being in the moment, trying not to let your thoughts run away with themselves or ruminate. That helped me massively. And I still do work on it. Some days are better than others.
Do you believe that your cats have helped you with your BFRB?
Yes, I really do. There have been some tough times in my life. In the past, like 3 years, I've had two major surgeries where I was, homebound for quite a while, and I had to use crutches, or any scooter. I couldn't walk. And with like the physical pain of healing, as well as the emotional pain of just being sad that I did have to have these surgeries, I would have pulled my hair so much more had it not been for my cat. There was a time when I had two, but like him being my little buddy, sitting next to me and sleeping next to me, like most people with a BFRB, I am very tactile and I'm all about sensation and feel. And like the soft cat fur, just petting him really does help decrease the urge. So, yes, I feel like cats and dogs both help me so much.
And they're just so cute. I mean, you know what I mean? They just, you look at them and you're like, oh my gosh, I love life. Like, I just... What would you say your BFRB has taught you?
Oh, I like this question a lot. I would say my BFRB has taught me that I am stronger than I give myself credit for. Like, this has been something that I have, not just me, but other people with BFRBs, they go through such adversity with it. And I'm glad I didn't give up on life or give up on trying to stop pulling, but it really has taught me that over 30 years, this disorder isn't going to stop me from enjoying life, like food or travel or going out on Friday nights, having a social life and a love life. I think those are the main two things that having trichotillomania has taught me.